Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
So what happens when you find real contentment in Jesus? How does that contentment flow out into the rest of your life? This is what we're going to be looking at today. How does contentment flow into the rest of our life when that contentment is in Jesus? Last week, we looked at how Paul had revealed the secret of contentment, and that the secret of contentment is that discovering that Jesus is enough. Right? This is the secret Paul had learned. And whatever situation he was in, whether it was when he had plenty or when he had very little, he had discovered that the secret was to find your satisfaction in Jesus. And it's true. Things of this world can satisfy you for a little bit, but their weaknesses always reveal that they cannot keep you satisfied, right? We got that. We figured that out. We understand, though, that they just do not have the capacity to maintain our satisfaction, right? The difference between what they give us and what Jesus gives us in the way of satisfaction is that He goes beyond what they can do. He gives us something that is much greater than anything else can offer. And that is himself. He gives you himself. And this is what we saw in Hebrews 13:5, right? Look at Hebrews 13:5 real quick. It says this: let your conversation be without covetousness. Don't want other things. Don't set your eyes on other things. Don't keep looking for things, whether it's things you want, things you want to do, things you want to have. Be content with such things as you have. How can you be content? Jesus says, for He had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I am giving you the best thing you can possibly have, and that is myself. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that an awesome thought? So what happens when you and I go beyond just understanding this with our mind? Like a mental, oh yeah, you know, if I'm content in Jesus, that's great, you know. What happens when we go to a mental recognition of that, a mental understanding of that, to actually start to living it out enough to trust Jesus enough to be satisfied in Him? Where it's not just mental assertion, but it's a heart that starts living in a way that says, I'm satisfied in Jesus. I don't care what happens to me. I don't care what happens to life as I know it. I know that Jesus is enough for me. In what ways do we see the visible outward effects that flow from an inward heart that is content in Jesus? We're going to see some of the amazing effects of this. So what does it mean to be content in Jesus? How does it flow out? And the really, really amazing thing is we can see this displayed in the Philippian church and in Paul as they have lived out their lives. So last week, this is where it's interesting. Last week, we closed out our letter in Philippians chapter, or we started in Philippians 4:10, and then we went on, right? Philippians 4:10, Paul is about ready to close out his letter. So he's sending his final thank yous, right? He says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Listen, man, it was such a hard thing to do. Oh, Nolan, I forgot to put in. Okay, I don't have it. Okay, never mind. I had a map that I wanted to show you guys a little bit, but I'm going to not have it available, so that's okay. We will go without it. But maybe in the back of your Bible, you know how you have those maps? That's going to be really helpful today. So if you have a non-digital Bible, a paper Bible, and you have a map, this is where having a paper Bible really helps. but that's going to be helpful, all right? So maybe it is in there. Look in... I'm gonna go off camera, right? So Nolan, what you want to do is this. go to the Akigawa BC shared folder, and in the Akigawa BC shared folder, go to the Philippians folder, and then in the, or Ben, go to Ben and Steve shared folder. Now you guys on Facebook, don't pay attention to this, okay? So go to the Ben and Steve shared folder, and then in Philippians, and then you'll find the map in the sources file, okay? All right, I'm back. Thank you so much for being patient to us while we were on that commercial break. And so Philippians, so here's the thing. In Philippians 10, Paul says this: I am so thankful for how you cared for me. It was not easy for you to care for me. There was a very difficult aspect of you being able to care for me. Me being all the way in Rome and you being all the way in Philippi. The actual process of that to get that money to me was incredibly difficult. And then he stops for a second, he pauses for a second, and he starts talking about how content he has been. Not that I require a gift, but I'm just very thankful. I want you to know that regardless of what happens, I am content, right? Are you able to go to verse 14, Nolan? In verse 14, he continues, after he talked about contentment and how he can be content in all things, he goes to verse 14, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. You did so good caring for me in my time of need. Verse 15 says this: Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Verse 16 says, For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. I don't know if you're able to pull up a map or not, or Nolan. And if you are, great. If not, that's totally fine. It's not a problem. But here's basically what he's talking about. Paul is describing his contentment in the same flow of conversation as their generosity, right? His contentment is in the same flow of conversation. His contentment is in that same flow of generosity. And as I studied this, there was a very interesting thing that I noticed. There is a deep connection between a heart that is content in Jesus to a life that is full of giving to others. Today, my goal is to help you to see this connection. All right? We're going to start by looking at first, we're going to kind of take our step backwards. We're going to look at how generous the Philippian church family was. This church family was incredibly generous. Paul says that from the time he left Philippi to start sharing the gospel to other cities, the church family had constantly given to him over and over to meet his needs. So in verse 16, he says they had given to him at least twice in Thessalonica. Philippi is somewhat close to Thessalonica. It was where Paul had continued to travel. Did you get it? Okay, that's okay. Don't worry about it. We'll go mapless. If you have a, hey, we got it. I don't know if that works. Can Facebook people see it or not? If they can, great. If not, that's okay. So fake like you're looking at a map, okay? So here's Philippi up on the top, right? And then Philippi, as Philippi went, then it came back, and then there's Thessalonica. Thessalonica, after Paul started traveling to the church in Philippi, left the church of Philippi, he went to a couple of other churches, one of those being the church in Thessalonica. This is the Macedonian region right up there to the top. Okay, so in the Macedonian region, he went from Philippi to Thessalonica. While he was there, the Philippian church family took care of his financial needs. They gave to him twice in Thessalonica. Then in verse 15, he talks about how, let's see here. Oh yeah, how they had helped him after he left the Macedonian region. After Paul left the Macedonian region and he went on traveling, he went down to Athens and he went to Corinth. Even in those places, the Philippian church family continued to make sure that his needs were met, right? When Paul was writing to the Corinthian church family, after he had traveled down here and he went to the Corinthian church family, in one of Paul's letters to the Corinthian church family, he reminded them of the fact that the Macedonian churches, probably Philippi, had cared for his physical needs. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 9 is where we're going to look at. And the map, we're good with the map for now. Thank you so much, Nolan. You did an amazing job getting that up. That is some fast work right there. Thank you so much for that. Verse 9 says this, "And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied." The Macedonian brothers took care of my needs. "And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself." Even in the Corinthian church family, the Philippian church family cared for Paul's needs, gave and gave and gave. Now here he is in Rome. Much further distance, much more difficult to actually be able to physically deliver the money. They did not have PayPal back then. They did not have Zelle giving. You know, they didn't have all these ways to give. You had to get that money over there. There was no bank transfer. And so Epaphroditus literally almost sacrifices his life in order to deliver the gift that the church family had prepared for Paul. Here's the thing. It isn't just Paul that the Philippian church family is generous to. The Philippian church family is consistently generous to all those kinds of people around them. When the Jerusalem church was going through heavy persecution, remember this? When the Jerusalem church was really going through it, Paul decided to travel to other churches to gather financial support to help the brothers and sisters in the Jerusalem church family. And look what he said in this very same letter to the Corinthian church concerning the church in Philippi. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, we want you to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Verse 2, "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." Verse 3 says this, "For to their power, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing to give of themselves, praying with us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." What Paul says in this passage concerning the Philippian church family and the churches in Macedonia is an amazing statement. Look at verse 2 for a second, because this is where it kind of comes out really easily. This church family was not a family who was abundant in money. In fact, they were going through just as a lot of persecution themselves. Paul says they themselves were in a great trial of affliction. They were going through it a lot. And because of what they were going through, the persecution they were going through, they were in deep poverty. And yet, they wanted to give so much that they literally had to beg Paul to take the money so that they could share in loving their brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. Where did that outflow of generosity come from? How could they be so generous with how they cared for others, how they cared for Paul, how they cared for the churches in Jerusalem? They were consistently generous and they loved to give. It's so interesting that it wasn't because Paul came to them and said, "Listen, guys, these churches in Jerusalem really need your help. We need you to do whatever you can." "Okay, all right, Paul, we'll do what we can." No, Paul was like, "You know, we'll go to all these other churches who are a lot more stable and doing well, and we'll go ahead and just, but I do want to say hi to them, so I'm going to stop by and say hi." So when he stops by and says hi to them, they're like, "Oh, man, we're so glad you stopped because we have like a boatload of money. We want to be involved." And Paul's like, no, you guys are like hurting right now. I can't take your money, man. There's no way." It's like, "No, you don't understand. We want to give. Do not take away the blessing of giving from us." And he's like, "No, I can't do it. Please do it." It just came out of them, that generosity, that desire to give, right? Where did that come from? How were they able to give so in such a manner? The answer is in this passage. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They were richly generous because in their poverty, they were still joyful. They had joy. It's a very similar theme that Paul continues to mention. When Paul writes about the Philippian church family to the Corinthian church family, he mentions the Philippian church family's deep joy. Now, as he's writing to the Philippian church family himself, he does a similar thing. He talks about his deep joy that he has in Christ. Philippians 1:18. Remember what he had difficulty with other people trying to compete against him, try to envious of him. He says, "What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached." He had just mentioned how people were trying to get at him to try to take away the blessing of sharing the gospel, like kind of competing against Paul, the jealousy that they had towards him. This is Roman brothers and sisters who were trying to, in a sense, contest Paul's influence by taking that influence away. And Paul's like, "Let them preach. Praise the Lord. This is amazing. I'm going to rejoice in that. You know what? I am rejoicing. I will rejoice." And Paul describes this aspect of finding joy, regardless of whether his brothers or sisters are in conflict against him, or whether or not his future is sure. Because right after this, he just literally talks about, "I may live, I may die. Whether I live, I know I'm going to live to glorify Jesus. I get to live just a little bit longer to glorify Jesus with my life. And if I die, that's the best thing ever, because I get to be face to face with Jesus, my Savior. I get to be with him forever. That's the best thing ever." He finds joy in his uncertain future. Verse 17. This verse 17 is interesting because he connects the joy in what he gives and his sacrificing his life to the joy that they have in their sacrifice of financially caring for him. Verse 17, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith," if my life is sacrificed, "your faith," I still have that offering there. "I joy and rejoice with you all." Even if I die, I'm so thankful that you have sacrificed and that your faith in Jesus is strong and secure. And he reminds them to do the same thing. In verse 18, he says this, "For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice in me." Rejoice with me. Again, Paul is saying, "Listen, guys, you have your joy in knowing that I am going to be with Jesus. So have joy in that. Just as I have joy in knowing your faith is strong and that one day I will get to see you, you also have joy in me." The connection of sacrifice with joy. Paul was willing to give his life as a sacrifice with joy, just as they were willing to give what little they had with joy. Why were they able to do that? Why were they so generous with how they shared that love with those around them? It came from joy, but where did that joy come from? How were they able to give of themselves so freely? Why could Paul give his life so readily? Why could the Philippian church, even in poverty themselves, want to give so badly that they had to convince Paul to let them have a part in giving to others? The reason is because they found great joy in Jesus. And that joy came from what we saw last week. Paul had learned, in whatever state he was, to be content. In plenty, in poverty, Paul knew that contentment came not from his situation, not from his physical condition, not from his financial circumstances. It came from going through all those things that he had just gone through with the help of Jesus. He found contentment, not in his situation, but in Jesus. I think in the same way, the Philippian church family figured that out too. I think they had figured out that whether they had a lot or whether they had a little, they were able to find their contentment not in their possessions, but in Jesus. Their contentment in Jesus changed how they saw everything else in life. I can go through good times, I can go through bad times, and I can still be content because Jesus is going through those times with me. He doesn't leave me in the bad times. He goes with me. And he doesn't just leave me in the good times either. He's there with me. He doesn't leave me. He doesn't forsake me. I can have plenty. I can have little. And I can still be perfectly content because I belong to Jesus and Jesus has given himself to me. I have more than I need because I have Jesus. Whatever I have, wherever I am, and whatever I am doing, I can be content because Jesus is with me. He goes through it with me and he cares for me. And that contentment in Jesus changed how they saw everything else in life. Contentment in Jesus produces joy. That's the first thing that comes out, the outflow of contentment. That outflow of contentment first comes in the aspect of joy. Isn't it amazing that regardless of where you are, regardless of whether you have enough or regardless of whether you don't have as much as you thought you would need, you can still have joy? Regardless of what happens to your future, you know that Jesus is going to go through it with you. And so you can have joy. It's just an amazing thing that you can have joy in Jesus. Joy that first fills your heart with thankfulness and love to Jesus who gave himself to you. Jesus who gave up his throne in heaven to take your cross upon himself. Jesus who gives you everlasting life when you give him your trust. Jesus who gives you his presence as you walk with him and talk with him through life. Jesus who gives you all of eternity to share his kindness and goodness to you. When that contentment in Jesus starts to flow out in joy in Jesus, joy starts to produce a response of generosity in Jesus. Jesus, you give me everything I need. My present is secure. My future is secure. The things I have on here on earth are nothing compared to who you are that I have you. You're nothing to what I have in you. They're nothing to what I have in you. And so let me give them to you. Let me respond by these temporal things. Let me give them to you. And Jesus, because of you, I have all of eternity in front of me. My time doesn't end with this life. My time just begins at the end of this life. So the time that I have, let me give it to you. Let me respond by being generous to you, to respond by giving what you have given me to you. Let me use my time to serve you. See how contentment brings joy, and then joy brings a response of generosity. This is the secret. When you put your contentment in Jesus, you will start to discover an overflow of joy in him. And that will flow out into living for him. Remember where we originally started this passage where Paul is talking to the Corinthian church family about how generous the Philippian church family is? I want to read that again because I left off the last verse 5. That's a very critical aspect of this. Verse 2, we're just going to go with verse 2 real quick. It says, how then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Verse 3 says, for to their power I bear record. Beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying with us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Why were they able to do that? Verse 5, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. They found their contentment in Jesus. They found their joy in Jesus. And they wanted to give back to Jesus. And the means through which they gave back to Jesus was through Paul, through the Jerusalem church family. And this is what we learn. How is your generosity right now? Is your generosity an outflow of your joy in Jesus? The first place, if we check our joy in giving to others, do we have joy in giving to others? If we don't, maybe the first place we need to check is our contentment in Jesus. Am I content being in the arms of Jesus, being in the care of Jesus, being in the fellowship of my Savior, having the time that I get to spend in eternity with Jesus? Am I content there? Do I find my joy there? And if you do, then it will naturally outflow. Your contentment will outflow out into joy. That joy will flow out into loving and serving Him. And that loving and serving Him will flow out into doing it through others around you. The outflow of contentment is joy and generosity. Next week, we're going to see how that outflow of generosity flows out into our lives as believers of Jesus, all right? But here's a question for us. How is your outflow of generosity? How is your contentment in Jesus? Does that contentment flow out in joy? Does that joy flow out into loving and serving others? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for how you care for us. Once again, we have been reminded of what we have because we are in you. Jesus, the fact that you never leave us, the fact that you never forsake us, that you always walk through every aspect of life with us, whether we recognize it or not, you are there. For that, we thank you. Our hearts are filled with joy when we see that and we find our contentment in you. Help us to see that secret of contentment. Help us to grab hold on that. And as we put our eyes on you, as we focus ourselves on you, and we find that joy because we are in you, help it to flow out of our lives in ways that we can respond in loving you by loving others around us. Thank you so much for the simple yet profound truth that we learned here today. And help us to take hold of it and help us to make it our way of living as well. In Jesus' name, amen.